Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. Right, I have got some interesting news for you this week.
Andrea. I mean, Pat, you've come straight in there, mate.
Straight in. I've got some things to clear up.
How's things, Pat? I've got
some,
bang.
Because in. I've got some things to clear up with you.
Oh, right. Okay. Bloody hell. Okay let's go.
The date night shit.
Okay. Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, guys, go back and listen to last week. If you're new here, if you're brand new here, Andrew and I get together every week and we'll often refer back to old episodes.
Yeah.
So if you haven't listened to Powered by Fairy Dust, go back and give it a listen and you'll know what this chat coming
is
up
about.
Is about.
Yeah.
I did a poll on Instagram about date night.
Yeah, now I saw this and obviously I voted, as you would expect, because I hate the shitting phrase.
And he's got a problem with the phrase date night.
I hate it. I hate people using it. I hate people asking me, do you want to go on a date night? Date night? No.
Date night.
Fuck off. So I'm interested. Now, when I looked, obviously, when I voted,
yes,
the poll was slightly not in my favour.
Okay.
So I'm interested to know whether that remained or whether there's been any change.
So with 524 votes and coming in at 55% of the poll, most of my followers on Instagram said, with regards to the term date night, it's fine.
Dicks.
And coming in at 429 votes, 45%, they said, hate it. So almost 50-50.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very close. Very close.
Well, the 429, guys, you are mine, okay? I love the fact that you hate it. We can be in the hate crew together. And the other 524, I don't know what to say, really. You've got problems.
Don't stop listening. Keep listening. We need you here. We love you. We think you're great.
I'll still love you. I'll still love you, even though you have pressed that you like the date night shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what else came in was I had a couple of people message me, and these two things I think are just ridiculous. So the whole daddy daycare thing.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck is that about?
Yeah.
Your daddy daycare.
No, actually,
no, it's not daycare, mate. You're his parent.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just there because you're actually his, and you've got to look after him/her. This ain't no daycare.
It's not like, oh, yeah, what, are you having mummy daycare? Well, no, because mummy daycare is 24/7. Just being a dad.
Yeah. Also, there's that thing around, you know, like when dads take their daughters on dates.
Oh,
I mean, it's predominantly more of an American thing, I think.
Father-daughter thing, isn't it?
Father-daughter dates. And it,
what is that about?
You should not be doing any of that shit.
Nobody needs to be taking their kids on date
on a date.
Talking of kids, coming up a little bit later on in the show.
Nice.
Thank you.
Well done, Pats. That is
thank
pro.
You,
pro.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking to Sean from Instagram, aka Knackered Knackers, about his journey to parenthood.
Yeah.
And his male infertility. So stick around for that. I'm sure it's going to be a great chat. And,
yeah.
And yeah, so, but yeah, daddy daycare and date nights with kids.
Yeah.
It's a load of
bollocks. Should not be happening. Should not be happening.
And I had a couple of people get in touch about what they call penises. And somebody said, I had loads, but the two that stuck out to me the most was somebody said her brother called it a widgie. A widgie?
Widgie.
Yeah. And then somebody else said that they had somebody in their class that called it their tail.
But it's at the front.
Yeah.
What? Tail.
So yeah, they were the two that really, really stuck out for me.
See, I'm a big fan of just the penis, the word penis. I'm not a fan of penises as a whole, but
on the whole,
I'd like to just call it penis. I don't know penis, why you need to be dicking around with
I don't want you to be dicking around calling it anything else other than penis.
Calling it your todger or your wiener or your sausage or whatever it is.
Yeah, or your widgie.
Just call it your penis.
Or your tail. Just, yeah,
penis.
I like the way that, like the fact that you say penis.
Penis. I like it like that.
I like it like that. just penis. Call it your penis.
It's like your vagina. Penis. Same. Just call it a vagina. You don't need to be calling it your fanny.
Your flower.
Your lady garden. You know, just call them by their names.
Anyway, shall we?
Let's go into the big question.
This episode's going to be 65 minutes long, and most of it is going to be short.
Oh, dear.
Okay, so we had a big question this week, and it just says, full disclosure, I've just bought my first pair of high-top trainers. I'm 45. Is this dickish? And that's from Helen on the Gram.
Now, look, I find this hard talk because I don't want to offend Helen. Right?
No.
You know, I don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure at 45 you should be rocking a pair of high top trainers.
What are the other things you can't rock at 45? I remember once this guy I worked with, it was obvious he was having a midlife crisis by the clothes he wore and the trainers that he wore.
Yeah.
And I think you can tell a lot by somebody's choice of footwear, can't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much like, so.
You know, I feel like your 45s is your New Balance. That's where your New Balance comes into play.
Yes, very much
so. But if you're 45 and picking an luminous orange, blue, green, purple New Balance, you've got a crisis.
You're in crisis there. You're in crisis,
you know, if you see a bloke walking down with a nice pair of black New Balance, you think this guy's sorted.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's not treading water. He knows where he's going in life. This is solid.
He knows who he is.
Yeah.
No issue.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You swap that out for your bright orange, and you're like, "Whoa, dude, what's happening?
What's going on?"
You expect him to get out of a, you know, multicolored Ferrari, and you know that he's got a small penis and he's having a midlife crisis.
Exactly that. Yeah. Yeah.
So, what other things? This got me thinking last night about what other things are a no go, like. At 45, or are we just saying, do you know what, Helen? Fuck it, you're 45.
Well, I think
you want to wear your high tops.
That is the thing. Tops. I'm in a quandary.
Okay.
Because I'm like, on the one hand, I'm like, do you know what, Helen? Fuck it. If you want to wear your high tops at 45,
do it.
Wear your high tops. Why should we feel like at 45 you can't?
So nobody's going to dictate it to us. Least of all the fucking patriarchy.
Patriarchy, sister. I love it when you bring that shit.
I know you do. That's why I said it.
So I'm kind of like, on the one hand, fucking go for it.
Yeah.
On the other hand, going, does that scream midlife crisis?
Yeah.
I
think, as Gok would say, Mr. Gokwan, it's all about the confidence.
All about the confidence, sister.
It is all about the confidence.
Yeah.
Because, look, now I think by the fact that you've asked this question, I think, Helen, it could be a bit dickish.
Mm.
Because if you're going to rock a high top at 45,
you've got to own
it. You've got to say, I'm here for this. Yeah. I don't care what anyone else thinks. Yeah. I don't care if you think I'm having a midlife crisis. Yeah. Maybe. Subconsciously, I am.
Yeah.
This is my way of showing it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you are going to, Helen, I'm talking directly to you now. Everybody else, you're here for a pep talk between me and Helen. Because if you are going to go for the high tops, you go for it, girlfriend. Mm. You put them on every day with solid confidence.
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, if other people think this is dickish, I don't. So you go for it.
You say to yourself, Helen, I am the fucking shit. That's what you say. That is what you put them on, you lace them up, you strap them in, you Velcro, whatever it is you got going on in your high top, right?
You strap them in, you Velcro.
Yeah, and then you say, and I think, Helen, I think this is something you say out loud, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, you say it out loud. I am the fucking shit. Okay.
And just to add into that, what you do is you record yourself while you're saying it and you send it in to us and we'll play it next week.
Absolutely. Yeah. There we go, Helen. I think that is the best bit of advice we've ever given.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, there's a lot of people out there who wouldn't have the confidence to wear a high top, Helen. You go for it, mate.
Go for it. You go, girl.
You go, girl. Okay, so we had a dickish behaviour. Ange, this was from a new follower, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Yeah.
It actually came in as we were prepping, didn't it?
Oh, well, I mean,
Perfect timing. This is hot off the press. This is a hot one.
So Lou posed this dickish behaviour. For me, when Instagram becomes like Christmas with full-on Easter boxes filled with all kinds of paraphernalia, PlayStations, cars, etc. What happened to just buying an Easter egg, Lou, on the gram? She is right.
What is going on? Yeah. People are losing their shit when they don't need
it. People on some of my Instagram have got Easter trees.
Yeah.
Like, they're decorating trees for Easter.
Yeah, and hanging eggs, painted eggs and bunnies. And shit on them. It's actually not even a tree. It's a twig.
Yeah, it's a twig.
It's not a tree. It's a twig.
It's a twig. But I think it's true, isn't it? Like, people buying, like, PlayStations for Christmas.
Yeah, that is not.
This is basically
all you need to do is buy a chocolate egg.
Yeah.
That's it. You don't need to be dicking around, jazzing it up, spending 500 quid at Easter. A fiver, do you?
But, like, I saw this one woman I follow on Instagram. She's done this, like, whole massive box. It's got modelling clay in it.
Yeah.
It's got, like, empty eggs that she's going to put, like, dollar bill notes in. It's like, got carrot containers that have got bubbles in. Fucking bloody hell. Just go to the shop, take him to Target or wherever it is you go and say, pick out the biggest egg you want and you can stuff it in your face for the whole of Easter Sunday. Because that is all we want, guys.
Yeah. I actually think, and I obviously know we are very much past Christmas, but this for me that Lou has highlighted falls into your Christmas Eve box shit.
Right, yeah, like, you're not a big fan of that, are you? I quite like a Christmas Eve box.
But I'm just like, you're going to get shit loads on Christmas Day. Why are we now adding in more to the night
before?
You like
a Christmas Eve pyjama. You get Joel and Ellen like a Christmas Eve pyjama.
Yeah, fine, get a pair of pyjamas. They're going to cost you, what, a tenner? People are doing a whole fucking box of shit on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day, here's a load more. I just think we're getting into the crazy realms. And I feel like Easter is that's what's beginning to happen with Easter.
Yeah.
And I think
Lou has highlighted it perfectly. What has happened to just buying an Easter egg?
Exactly.
We're with you, Lou.
Yeah.
It's totally dickish.
Totally dickish.
Yeah.
So we had a dickish behaviour in from Rufus on the gram. I love that name.
Yeah, a great name.
Yeah, I like the name Rufus. Rufus on the gram. And he says, joint social media accounts. Which one of you cheated?
Nailed that. Absolutely nailed it. Nailed it. Joint social media accounts for me are like, you think, one of you's cheated, but you also just think, what is the point?
Yeah.
Like, give yourself some fucking space, man.
Yeah. Like, just be an individual for a bit.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
You're not joined at the bloody hip.
You can be your own person.
Self. Yeah.
With your own social media, but I think the way that Rufus has just perfectly asked which one of you, because we're not going to lie, if you've got a joint social media account, if that's you, we scroll through social media and think, oh god,
hello,
yeah, one of you two, yeah, back away.
Yeah,
somebody,
yeah,
found somebody else sliding into one's DMs.
Yeah, someone's been a bit naughty on here, haven't they?
Yeah.
Maybe there's a couple of dick pics floating around.
You absolutely can't have your own space because you've ruined that.
Yeah,
you've,
that's it now. That's it now. I'm afraid that's it now, Sandra. John is now part of you and will be in control of social media. That's exactly what that's saying.
Could you imagine, Sandra, John, some girl on here again is asking for a dick. This has got to stop, John. This is why we went joint on the social media. Somebody sent me a picture of their tits again, John. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I
but
don't.
Yeah, we thought that is dickish.
Very dickish. Yeah. And it definitely screams of, yeah,
which one of you cheated?
Yeah.
Our Don't Go There section this week, I think Ange and I will both agree, we're really excited to welcome Sean, aka Knackered Knackers, from Instagram. Now, this is a subject of male infertility, which is not often talked about. And Sean, just before we go into kind of hearing your story, I just want to say, when I put the question box up on Instagram yesterday, the amount of people that said how much you'd helped them, how much your story had helped them. I lost count of how many people were saying, Sean's really helped my husband to come to terms with using kind of donor sperm, or where we're at in our kind of story. So firstly, your story is already helping so many people. And I know that this conversation will go a little bit further to help those people too. So without further ado, welcome to Finding the Funny.
Hey, hello.
Woohoo! Welcome, Sean.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So Sean, I think the first thing Ange and I wanted to do was just give you a bit of space to share as much or as little of your story with us. We have got some questions for you, but tell us a little bit about what kind of where you're at, how you got here, your own fertility story with you and your wife.
Sure, thank you. So to kind of start in the present, my wife and I had twins almost 6 weeks ago now.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a roller coaster a few weeks, but it's what we wanted and what we've really strived for years now. Mm-hmm. So it's been amazing. So that's kind of now. But to kind of lead up to this, we have had fertility struggles over since 2017, so about 4 years to get to this point. But I guess my fertility journey really fits into two sides, really. There's the known and the unknown. Mm-hmm. So the unknown really started back in 2005 when I was 22, kind of not caring the world, no responsibility. and I got mumps. So I was ahead of a game by catching a virus when everyone wanted to avoid me. it was horrendous, to be honest. It was the illest I've ever been. Took kind of 3 weeks to recover from fully. I think the first 2 weeks I was bedridden.
Oh my gosh.
One of my best mates, Warren, he lived four doors down. We grew up four doors apart, and he was a postie at the time. So, and I think he had either had it or had the jab and was confident he couldn't get it. So he would phone me, do you need anything? I said, yeah, I just need you to come around. There's something I need you to do. And he got around and was like, what is it then? So I dropped my pants, showed him my balls. they were enormous. They had swollen up, and the skin was taut. And I was just like, mate, I said, I need you to get a photo of this. This needs to be documented.
I need to document my massive balls.
It was, there was no way I could let this pass without keeping a memory.
Yeah.
Exactly. I held my dick with one hand and I put my clenched fist next to my balls for scale
right
for them. And I'm like 6'2" and quite a big build, so my hands aren't small, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
6'2" and well hung, Sean. That's what you should have got.
Well, that's what I'd claim. But yeah, they were bigger than my fist clenched. So
oh my god.
Yeah. At the time, as much as I thought it was a funny picture and it kind of went viral around our mates, but actually that's probably the point where it was going to change the rest of my life, unbeknownst to me at the time.
Oh,
so,
gosh, Sean.
There you go. And
are we saying that it was that mumps that led you to kind of where you're at now in terms of infertility?
I believe so, yes. Yeah, right. That's from all the kind of many tests I've had.
Is that a known thing? Like, you know, if boys, yeah, well, I suppose maybe more young men, I suppose it depends on the time you get mumps. Is that known to have an effect on sort of male reproduction and things like that?
It is, yeah. So it's post-puberty, it becomes a risk. So I was 22 and my youngest brother was, so he would have been 16, I think, at the time. Mm-hmm. And he caught it as well, but he was nowhere near as ill as what I was.
No.
But it causes what's non-obstructive azoospermia, which is what I've got, which is the cause of the infertility. But my brother who caught it and was that bit younger, he's had a child naturally, no issues. So. But I mean, everyone says when I had it or when I was showing the picture with glee, like, oh, look at the size of my balls here. Everyone's like, oh, can't mumps cause infertility? And you just kind of laugh it off.
Yeah.
Go, no, yeah, it's really rare. It's fine. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine, yeah.
And then,
So I know what a zoospermia is because I am in this world as well. But just for anybody who's listening who doesn't know what a zoospermia is, would you mind just explaining what that diagnosis means?
Yeah, sure. So it's zero sperm in the semen.
Okay.
And many blokes in a normal ejaculate will produce kind of upwards, well, like millions, like high millions, up to 100 million, I think. And
the
kind of reference range that they're looking for, I haven't got the stats to hand, but
oh, don't worry.
For a kind of normal sample, I think they're looking for above 15 million in one ejaculate. And I didn't have any, not one.
No way.
So, yeah.
When you were told that you had a zoospermia, what impact did that have on you? Like, how did it affect you?
When I first got the diagnosis, it wasn't a complete shock, but it's still hard to take. I remember I was at work and I went outside to take a phone call, and bless the girl who phoned me because I think she was the receptionist. I know, not so, and you could tell that she was kind of reading the letter or the results as she was talking.
Yeah.
And then you got to this word of azoospermia, however you pronounce it. And she's kind of trying to pronounce it as she's reading it.
Oh,
and she's trying to tell me that this, you know, this life-changing news, that which and I'd never heard this word before.
No.
And I said, sorry, what is that? And she was like, yeah, I don't really know.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Sure.
There's a lot of it. It's quite traumatic and you can get a bit tunnel visioned.
Yes.
That was to come later on for us after I'd had a couple of procedures to try and rectify it and try and have children. I say naturally, it would still be with assisted conception, but with my own sperm.
Yes.
But, so it was when kind of those doors were closing that it really hit us.
So how did it impact you? You talked about like once those procedures that you could have used kind of to have IVF, when those doors closed, it became more difficult. How did it impact your mental health?
Well, as Ange would say, it's a hard one.
Yes,
Sean.
Yes, mate.
Yes.
Straight in there.
Amazing.
It's
classic.
That's so funny.
Hard one.
Hard one. But no, it is hard. But that's the thing, you know, you've probably seen, well, from my account, the whole thing is trying to bring a bit of humour to it as well.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
But, I mean, my wife won't mind me saying in that she suffered with depression prior to this anyway.
Okay.
So, and she's still on the medication for that now. So I was just so kind of aware of what extra burden I'm putting on her as well. Because she was so desperate to have children. And obviously so was I, but kind of when I think women have this thing, it's just so innate and inside that kind of desire to have a child, and just seeing how I was impacting on her, not being able to reach that. It was, and I know very much it is our infertility journey. Mm. And I know she's only ever been supportive, but obviously I was always very acutely aware that it was me that was putting her in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say, I mean, having the direct experience of dealing with helping my wife through her depression, I wouldn't say I became depressed, but certainly, you know, it's very sad and dealing with the loss of my genetics and not being able to have my own children is a process that I grieved, and it's one that's absolutely worthwhile grieving. It's the death of my DNA, essentially.
Yeah,
because obviously grieving is often associated with death, but I think with something like this, I certainly in hindsight realized that I was going through that as well, going through each stage. So it's something that, like you said, and because there are so few male voices in this sphere, it's so important, I think, to try and get this out there, because there are, I think it's been well documented, the kind of male suicide rates, etc. And I have no doubt that some of that will be linked in with infertility.
Because
men are taught, or kind of society tells us, to man up
and
be the kind of devoid of emotion and just kind of sports, beer, muscles type thing.
But, very much so.
But I also think within that language around, like, oh, you know, you don't want to be firing blanks and all of that, like, there's such a, you know, your male anatomy and your sperm and your DNA, I think, as much as it's innately in women to want to bear children, for not for all women, but for lots of women, I think there's also this innate culture around men of, like, well, you're only a real man if you've got loads of sperm, or if you know, wank four times a week or whatever. Like, there's such a language, isn't there, around, like,
absolutely
that I think, God, the pressure men must feel when they, or the impact that must have on your male self-esteem when that is your story. I think it must be like really hard, like you say, to grieve your DNA.
Yeah, I mean, people are just so kind of unaware of fertility struggles if you haven't been in it. So mates or colleagues would say, what you two, like, you're going to have kids? Be like, well, yeah, we're working on it. Or what, you firing blanks, are you Jaffa and all this? And just kind of laugh it off, and because, like, I guess that's just what you do.
And I suppose as well, Sean, it's because there isn't this conversation happening. So, for me, this is like a huge learning curve. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever heard a man talking about this ever. So I think that's the thing that you're now hopefully being able to change.
Yeah, well, that's exactly why I'm here, because I needed that support and I wanted that male voice when I was going through it and in dark and lonely places on my own, what seemingly felt like on my own. But actually, in the UK, 1 in 6 to 1 in 7 couples will face fertility issues.
Wow.
And out of those, it's 50-50, male and female.
Is it really?
Wow.
That's kind of what I've very much been, like, everything that I've seen and read has said. So,
wow.
And you think of how many blokes that will be in the UK alone.
You know, for any couple that is facing kind of having to perhaps use assisted reproduction or struggling to grow their family, you know, society just has this, people just have this belief that they can just ask those questions, don't they? Like, when are you two going to have kids? Or, you know, don't leave it too, you know, I've had people say to me, God, Matthew would make a brilliant dad. Why are you leaving it so long? And you're sat there thinking, you have absolutely no idea. Like, you have no idea what we have been through, what we've discussed, what we've experienced, you know, the last 8.5 years of just, you know, ongoing, like, grief. You're right, and it is a grief that you have to kind of walk through.
And it's okay for men to feel that as well, and to feel sad.
So, Sean, do you have any advice for men that are hesitant to use a sperm donor?
So I think my main advice would be that you have to process your feelings first before moving towards donor sperm. You have to, as I mentioned earlier, grieve the loss of your genetics, and then come to accept that you are never going to have your own biological child, because I think it'd be kind of it wouldn't be great for anyone to move to use a donor sperm as t- to paper over the cracks. And, that child is not going to do that. It's not going to cure your infertility.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to come to terms with your infertility and then move forward.
Mm.
And then in terms of any hesitancy around it, depending on what the nature of that would be, for example, if you, how you'd feel raising children which aren't biologically yours, well, we live in a culture now where, especially in Western Europe or in England, for example, where families aren't just made up of the kind of mum, dad, 2.4 children or whatever. It's we're not in that situation anymore. Obviously, there's more and more step parents. There's always been adoption. Obviously, there's now having same-sex couples having children, single mums by choice. So, and address why, if you are hesitant, address why. Ask yourself those questions, because that's going to be a personal talk towards any one person. Any it's a very subjective matter.
We had a question that talked about, so this was from somebody who's a donor embryo recipient mum, and she said, how are you intending to tell your children about how they were conceived? And that she's gonna, there's for people who don't know, there's the Donor Conception Network, who exist basically for families in this situation who have used either donor embryos or donor eggs or donor sperm. She would just like to know, what conversations are you going to have with the children about how they were conceived?
So we have decided to tell early and tell often. That's kind of the modern way of thinking throughout anyway, and it's the recommended way rather than kind of trying to keep the secret. That was kind of the advice going back 20-30 years apparently, and it can, if it all comes out, it can damage relationships, damage both parents and children. So we will be telling early, telling often. We haven't really had in-depth conversations about how we'll be doing that as yet, because we know we've kind of got time to play with. Obviously, they'll be 6 weeks old tomorrow. But I saw an account that I know you're kind of linked in with, Ruth, is Defining Mum.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
Becky. She's great. And I saw one thing from her where she practices telling her two young children before they can't talk or presumably understand what's being said at the moment. But it helps her verbalize it and get used to that kind of conversation. So that was really helpful. And there's a couple of, I just grabbed them here, a couple of books that we've got. They're kind of the sperm donation stories is one called Happy Together.
Okay.
And that's by Julie Marie. And then there's another one, You Were Meant for Me. And this this one is by Sherry Sternilo, I think. I should have probably read that name before I said it. But they're kind of children's books to read to them at bedtime, for example, and it's a story of how you conceived using someone else's sperm. But I think it's obviously in children's language.
There was one really interesting question that came through, Sean, that said, what's one thing you wish you could have told yourself at the beginning?
I think it would be that when you go to the to give sperm samples, that not all of the rooms have 4G or Wi-Fi, so make sure you have some preloaded material.
I mean, that is gold advice there. That really is.
Otherwise, you're just stuck with a crusty old bag stuck together.
I mean, just be prepared. That's what you're saying, Jordan. Be prepared. Dip, dob, dob, dob.
I'd say just know that you can get through this. It may seem like that there is no end in sight and that it's just the most horrendous thing, but know that you can get through it, and B, you'll actually come through it a better person. I genuinely believe that I am a better person, a better husband, and therefore will be a better father than what I would have been had I not gone through this struggle. Everyone has their kind of their own stories, no matter what that is, no matter what the struggles, everyone has something. But to kind of take that and own it, make it your own, and learn from it, because it would be a real shitter, really, if you didn't learn from something like this. And I truly believe that I've changed because of it, but for the better.
We're just so thankful that you've given up some of your time to come and chat to us. And yeah, I just know. So if you want to find Sean on Instagram, he's Knackered Knackers, and the stuff that he posts is insightful and humorous and will help anyone who is in many different places of their own fertility journey. So thank you so much, Sean, for sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you both so much for having me on. It's been an absolute pleasure. I think I mentioned to you in email that you've taken my podcast virginity.
Yes.
So thanks for being so gentle.
Which we are so happy about. Anyway, look, we are so thankful to Sean for coming on and sharing his story. We hope
we really
you enjoyed
are.
This episode. I definitely have learned something this week, and we hope that you have too. You can find us on Instagram. I'm Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden. And you can find us on Facebook. Search Finding the Funny Podcast. And you can send us an email, hello@ruthcorden.com. And we really do love hearing from you.
We do. We got so much this week.
Yeah, honestly, that those sort of interactions when you know someone's listened to that episode and gone, yes, yeah. I need to tell Ange about that. I need to speak to Ruth about that. I've got an opinion on this. That shit I love. We love.
Me too.
So please just get in touch with us. We really do love hearing from you. And we will be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This Independence Day, wrap yourself in comfort and freedom with Minky Couture. From stars, stripes, and snuggles to cozy classics, our luxury blankets are proudly made to comfort. Whether you're watching fireworks or hosting backyard barbecues, be proud to be cozy all summer long. Celebrate comfort. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate you. Shop now at minkycouture.com and make your 4th of July unforgettably cozy.